Kubrite, the only book light you can see from outer space, presents Lance Manley, Library Detective.
We like our fun down at the public library. It just tends to be of the quiet variety. So when outsiders, that is to say, people who like things a little loud and boisterous, show up, tensions can run high. Take these folks, for example. It was one bright, cheery morning that a traveling carnival, complete with cotton candy and freak show, opened up for business in the vacant lot next door to the public. Normally, I don't begrudge anyone the chance to make a buck, even if it involves wearing spandex and smelling like sawdust. But there were things about this particular carnival that had Boss Lady Effie, myself, and even lovely Nora, the cataloger, up in our collective arms. Feel like tripping the light fantastic? I'll be your dance partner right after this.
We'll be back to Lance Manley in just a moment. But first, friends, if your pages are looking darker, if your reading lamp just doesn't seem to be getting the job done anymore, perhaps it's time to invest in your future, your children's future, with a new reading lamp from Tubrite, the former defense contractor that knows illumination. With a Tubrite reading lamp, you not only get a perfectly legible page, but sleek styling, whisper-quiet operation, and the knowledge that the bulb and circuitry in your reading lamp was once used to signal aircraft carriers miles out at sea. And if your local Tubrite dealer has a complete, and your local Tubrite dealer has a complete list of local electricians who can affordably upgrade your home's power capacity to accommodate the brightest light you'll ever own, consult your telephone directory for the Tubrite dealer near you. And now back to Lance Manley, Library Detective.
I heard a song once that said, "Life is just a circus." Until recently, I would have gone along with that little chunk of musical wisdom, but now that I've seen a real circus up close, I gotta say, I can't see the similarity between their loud and bedazzled life and my relatively quiet existence at the public. But so long as the owner of the vacant lot next door rents to traveling carnivals like Funtime Shows Incorporated, we at the Bibliotheque are doomed with the occasional carny invasion. The problem stemmed from the fact that we were in a heat wave and carnival work was pretty warm and sweaty. So when the carny folk found a moment to take a break, they developed a fondness for our reading room and its air conditioning.
So I says to him, "That wasn't Boston. That wasn't even California."
And carny folk apparently came with only one volume setting, extra loud.
"Ain't that a screamer?"
Oh, you told that story before.
"No, I didn't. You're crazy."
"You're crazy, Gus."
"You're both crazy, and you're both too damn loud."
"Get this guy with a fedora, would ya?"
"Yeah, a regular throwback. Hey, bud, got a nickel for a cup of coffee?"
"I got a bag of nickels. They come in handy with unruly patrons. Get me?"
"Who you calling a patron?"
"Even know what the word means?"
"What if I don't?"
"A patron, as in a patron of this public library. You know, someone who selects a book from the shelves and reads quietly. Or even better, leaves."
"What's it to you, bub?"
"I'm in charge of security around this place, and you two, in fact, every grab and ride jock that comes in here breaks the one cardinal rule. No loud talking."
"Security, huh?"
"Like a detective?"
"Exactly like a detective."
"Well, get this, Seamus. This is a public building and it's hot outside. My compatriot and I just want to cool off for a while. That's all right, ain't it?"
"Did you hear the part where I said quietly? And for God's sake, keep your shoes on."
"Quite the school mom, this character."
"Yeah, school mom." "Hey, Gus."
"Yeah?"
"What's a marm?"
"Now see, if you'd read a book once in a while, you'd know that."
"Eh, too high a price to pay."
"Leave us alone, Manley. We're not bothering anybody, and you don't look like a librarian to me. So why don't you take your act on the road?"
"Oh, but boys, you haven't seen my act. Let me show you."
"What are you, let me go!"
"I call this my strongman routine. I grab two miscreants by the collar and see how far I can throw them."
"Well, that'd be pretty cool. Will I go farther if I curl up into a ball?"
"Only one way to find out."
"Lance, what's with all the noise? The Garden Club is meeting downstairs and they say you're wilting the petals."
"Sorry, Nora. Let me deal with this and I'll go down and apologize."
"Wait a minute, Nora? Little Nora?"
"What? Who are you?"
"It is you, little nimble Nora, as I live and breathe. It's me, guest from the Iowa tour, summer of 07.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Gus.
Boy, is Bobo gonna be glad to hear about this?
Bobo? You still keep in touch with Bobo?
Keep in touch, you kidding? He runs a crew that sets up next door.
Oh, Bobo is next door?
Sure.
Right now?
Sure. Wait till he hears you here. He'll smear his makeup.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotta go, supervise the garden club. Thanks for taking care of this, Lance.
All right, buddy. Give. What was that all about? Who's Bobo?
Easy, Seamus. You'll wrinkle the material. Bobo is top dog in our show and a pretty good clown to boot. And that girl? That's little nimble Nora. The greatest tightrope walker and acrobat the company ever had.
Impossible. That woman's the best cataloger this library's ever had.
Hey, a dame can be two things at once, can't she? All's I know is when my boss finds out, he's gonna be over the moon. We could use a good acrobat.
Ha! You think she'll quit her current life just to jaunt around the country with the likes of you?
Me? Nah. But you're not getting the whole picture, Manly. Bobo and Nora used to be engaged.
I hate to admit it, but that statement shocked me so much I dropped my carny. And before I could snatch the two of them up and get more info, they'd scurried out the door and were gone, leaving me with nothing but a fistful of questions. Luckily, I knew right where the answers were hiding.
Go away!
You don't even know who it is.
Is that you, Lance?
Yes.
Then go away!
Oh, you don't listen so good, do ya?
And you don't hide so good.
I'm not hiding. I'm just making myself scarce to avoid this conversation.
And what conversation's that?
Oh, don't toy with me, Lance. You know what I'm talking about, and I'll save you the trouble of asking. Yes, I dated a clown.
The boys I rousted just now thought it was a little more than dated. Tell me, did his horn honk when he got down on one knee? Did he get the ring from a Cracker Jack?
Now you're enjoying this, ain't ya?
A little. I mean, I just found out my best gal used to be an acrobat. Yowza.
It was just a phase, and not a very pleasant one. Right after high school, I learned a lot of things. I was on the gymnastics team in school and could do a few basic tumbling runs. That was enough to build an act around. I did some handstands, a little low trapeze work. It was fun for a while, but the road was an endless grind of small towns and back roads and guys who think this skimpy costume was a hall pass. Ugh. But Bobo, he was kind. He made it bearable.
So, you really were engaged to a clown?
The question was asked, but never answered. I had already half decided to leave the show when he asked me. That was the push I needed. I sneaked out after a performance one night, found a bus station, and headed home. I started college that fall. I don't regret anything, except the way I left. I never said goodbye to him. Never said goodbye to anybody.
And you didn't need to.
I turned at the sound of that voice and beheld the very last thing I expected to see in a public library, a clown. All 6'5" of him, decked out in a jumpsuit covered in pink polka dots the size of dinner plates, a fright wig that shot a foot out from his noggin, and a face as white as snow. It was a clown, all right. The kind that would have made most people laugh or scream, only this one had the saddest eyes I'd ever seen. And I was invisible as far as he was concerned. He only had eyes for Nora. And he looked at her like a starving man does his first meal.
Hello, Bobo.
Nora, my sweet. It is an undivided pleasure to see you once again. I only half believed it when Gus told me the news. You look good, kid.
And you look just the same.
Clowns don't change, sweetheart. You know that.
Yes, I do. Oh, this is Lance Manly. He works here with me.
How do you do, Lance?
Put her there.
There's not a joy buzzer in that mitt, is there?
Of course not. That's hack. Outdated. No subtlety. Come on, shake hands.
All right.
Gotcha! Miniature whoopee cushion, patent pending.
Right. Well, Kids, you have a lot of catching up to do, I'm sure. I'll just make myself scarce.
Wait, Lance. Bobo, why are you here?
Can't an old clown look up his best girl?
I'm sorry the way I left things, but I'm nobody's girl. And I'm happy here at the library.
There's always a place for you in the show, you know.
Thank you, but the answer is no. The circus was fun for 18-year-old me, but there's been a lot of summer since then. My trapeze days are far behind me. But I do want to say sorry. Sorry for how I left.
That's all right. I didn't really expect you to say yes to my proposal. I just figured if I didn't at least try, I'd kick myself. And kick myself. And kick myself. But water under the bridge, my dear. Though I did wonder if maybe you could lend me a hand with something else.
Oh, anything. What is it?
Gus told me that your Mr. Manly here is a detective.
I mostly focus on security around the library now, but I still deduce and trade gunshots now and then. What's on your mind, clown?
I got a problem, Mr. Manly. There's a character on my midway. Bud LaGrange is his name. He came recommended, but he's been nothing but trouble. Surly attitude, picks fights with everyone, and threatens the customers.
So? Just fire him if he's that bad.
I'm pretty sure he's running a protection racket on everyone else on the midway. If I fire him, he'll just move on to another show and start his scam all over again. I want to see this character in jail, but I need evidence.
That's a problem, all right. But I have my hands full here. You'll have to get help elsewhere.
Lance, you could spare some time for this, couldn't you?
I'd hate to think what would happen if Boss Lady found out.
Oh, but the show runs mostly at night after you're off shift. You could at least look into things for him, couldn't you? Couldn't you?
The eyes. Not the eyes.
Oh, yeah. I'd forgotten about the eyes.
Watch it, clown. Now, what's this about a protection racket?
LaGrange has every game in Grease Joint terrified. Myrtle Hutchins, who ran the Ring Toss, tried to stand up to him. But her game caught fire and nearly took the midway with it. She lost everything.
So it's arson.
Or threats or intimidation. He's not picky, just mean. Please, Mr. Manly, help me build a case against him and I'll be eternally grateful.
I get $50 a day plus expenses.
Lance!
What? When I was freelance, that was my going rate. I have to keep some self-respect.
How about all the fried food you can eat? Plus, I got some pictures of Nora in her old costume.
Sold!
What?!
All right. So that wasn't the nicest thing I ever did, but agreeing to help an old boyfriend or whatever wasn't the nicest thing she ever asked me to do either. I found my way onto the midway in the booth of one Bud LaGrange. He ran a shooting gallery game that was situated in a prime spot right near the ticket booth. I took advantage of my pay arrangement in the form of two corn dogs and leaned up against a telephone pole to observe my quarry. Bud LaGrange was made to order for the part of Surly Carney, middle-aged, big and lumpy all over with a sweat-stained boater atop his head. I watched as he dished out insults and threats in equal measure to the customers. His game was a classic. Air rifles shot at metal targets, mostly in the shape of ducks and battleships that shunted back and forth, teasing the customers. As I watched, a long line of teenage boys tried to impress their dates with their marksmanship. Funny how few of them succeeded. Finally, after a good half hour of watching, I crossed the dirt lot and plunked down my four bits for a chance to play.
Made up your mind, I see.
What's that?
I say, you made up your mind at last. You've been leaning on that pole so long, I thought you were growing out of it.
Just passing the time of day. This gun good?
All the same, bud. All the same.
Oh, yeah? Funny. Feels like it pulls a little to the left. Almost like it was sighted that way intentionally.
Smart guy, huh?
Not particularly.
Well, we have a winner.
Pretty easy once you know how to aim an inch to the right.
It is, ain't it? Now beat it.
Don't I get a prize?
Picky, picky. You're entitled to anything from the top row.
Give me that funny-looking bird up there. My girl has a thing for pigeons.
I'll bet.
Of course, you might too, right, LaGrange?
Do I know you?
No. I'm just doing a favor for a friend. You might know the friend as Nimble Nora, used to do acrobatics for the show.
I wasn't with this crew then, but I heard of her. What about her?
She's a little worried. Things aren't all Jake around here. Word is, someone is strong-arming the Midway folk, demanding protection and starting fires.
It's not healthy to ask questions like that. Not around here, anyway.
Dangerous?
Very.
That's all right. I got a box of Band-Aids back at the office.
Band-Aids. That's funny. As if what happens around here could be fixed with a Band-Aid.
A sling, then. Or maybe a casket?
I'm gonna remember you, Mac. You gonna play again?
Give me the bird. That's enough.
And move along. Not safe hanging around shooting galleries, if you know what I mean.
I'll see you, LaGrange. And take some pliers to those sights, will you? The customers deserve a sporting chance. Bud LaGrange said goodbye with a phrase I can't repeat, and I strolled away, a stuffed bird under my arm and my head full of questions. I moved down the Midway, talking to whomever talked to me, which wasn't many. The general sense I got was that these people were scared, and any time I brought up words like protection racket or threats, they practically shut down their booths and hid. Something was going on here, all right, but Bud LaGrange had been cagey enough to avoid even the suggestion that he had anything to do with it. So I headed back to the public to have a think. The staff door was near the back, and since we'd already closed for the night, I headed there and got out my key. As I got close, I got the shock of my life. A body, a particularly lovely body, lay on the sidewalk right in front of the door. I rushed to her. Nora!
No!
My God, what did they do to you?
Oh, the wheel in my ear. Oh, my head.
Sorry. Let's get you inside.
Thanks, Lance.
Come here, over to the table.
Yeah, I could use a sit down.
Now, tell me, what happened?
I don't know. I locked up for the night, then remembered some paperwork I meant to take home. I turned back to unlock the staff door, and wham! The lights went out.
Did you see anything? How about the time?
No, he sneaked up on me real good. I did glance at my watch right before I put my key in the lock, though. 8:27!
That's only 3 minutes ago. That means he had you on the ground when he heard me coming.
No, saved me again, eh, Flatfoot?
Don't even joke about that. Come on, I'm gonna take you home.
I can make it, Lance.
No doubt you can, but concussions are nothing to mess with. I want you safe in bed behind 3 or 4 locked doors as soon as possible.
You know something. What is it?
I started asking around the carnival tonight. Everyone there is scared. Now someone clocks you with the intent to... whatever? A bit of a long coincidence, isn't it?
It is. What are you doing now?
Like I said, get you home.
Nix! If you're going back to that carnival, I'm coming with you.
Nora?
Don't Nora me. My head's clearing up and my dander's getting up. And when you figure out who hit me, brother, you better stand back. His face and my shoe have an appointment.
You think you can kick him in the head?
Acrobat, remember?
Hey.
Lance!
Right. Right, let's get going. All right, so maybe I should have insisted. But if you think you've seen Stubborn, I assure you, you have not, until you've seen Nora Diamond with her mind made up. So back we went to the carnival in full swing now, with all booths operating at near capacity. I was just wondering how I was going to get LaGrange alone when Nora took things out of my hands.
Hey, you!
Line starts back there, lady.
Aw, the line can wait. You're on a break.
Who the hell are you?
She's with me, LaGrange.
Oh, the Seamus. Why did I just know I'd see you again? You say this broad is with you?
Hey!
She is, and you'd better do what she says.
Well, what exactly?
Or you can expect a night in the slammer for assault and battery.
Not to mention a fair fight this time. How about you throw a punch where I can see ya, huh?
You two are nuts. Get out of here. I got customers.
Oh, that's so? Because from what I hear, no one's won anything at this booth for months. This guy glued the targets so they don't knock over.
Well, there goes your line, LaGrange.
I could have you tossed off the midway for that. What is it you two want, anyway?
I already said, you on an assault and battery charge.
What are you talking about?
I was locking up the library just now, and someone slugged me. Some cowardly G who snuck up behind. You fit the bill.
Watch it, sister.
You watch it, LaGrange. You're looking at jail time, and when the cops find out about the protection racket you've been running, it'll turn into years.
Now I know you're screwy. Protection racket? I ain't been mixed up in any such thing, unless you count being on the wrong end.
What do you mean?
There's a racket on this midway, all right. But I ain't the one running it. I've been paying through the nose, just like everybody else in this crew.
To whom?
Who do you think? The boss.
Bobo?
Of course, Bobo. Who else can get away with it? The company says he can only take 20% of our take to cover costs. But he finds a way to double or even triple that. And if anyone dares complain, his store has a little fire problem.
Oh, I don't believe it.
You're a little nimble Nora, right? We haven't known Bobo for years. That clown act is just for show. Inside, he's as hard-hearted as any carny ever lived. And as for hitting you, sweetheart, I haven't moved from this stool for 4 hours. Ask anyone on the midway. They're a witness.
Why should we believe you?
Don't. I don't care. But maybe before you scare any more of my customers, you should have a little chat with Bobo. Now, if you'll excuse me. Step right up, folks. Every target's a winner prize.
What do you think, Lance?
I don't know. He's irritable, unpleasant, and nasty, but none of those things make him a liar. Besides, what motive would he have for hitting you?
Well, why would Bobo, for that matter?
Why, indeed. Hey, there he is.
Who, Bobo? Oh, yes, I see him. Over there, running into the funhouse.
Come on. Down the midway, about 20 yards, an old funhouse leaned precariously against the wind. It was a freestanding structure, and the garish paintings on the outside promised customers a rotating tunnel, plenty of disorienting flashing lights, and a house of mirrors. As the two of us ran toward it, a tall figure in a familiar polka-dotted clown suit slipped into a nearly hidden side door and disappeared inside. Is there a back entrance to that thing, Angel?
How should I know? I haven't worked here in years.
All right. You circle around back, see if there's one. I'll go in the front door and see if I can corner a clown.
Oh, be careful, Lance. If what LaGrange said is true, there's a lot more to Bobo than orange feet.
Big orange. Hey, that's right. He did have big feet, didn't he? Big feet that honked.
So?
Never mind, Precious. Just be careful.
You too.
I watched as Nora disappeared around the other side of the building. Then I walked up the steps and through the door I'd seen the clown enter.
Hello, Lance. What are you doing in the funhouse?
What everyone does at the carnival, Bobo. Seeking amusement. You have a little office back here, huh?
More of a break room, really. If I had to stay in character the whole time, I might go crazy.
Good for costume changes, too, I see.
What's that?
When you came in here, you were wearing regular street shoes. Now I see you have the classic big feet.
Oh, these old girls? They've been patched and repatched so many times. It's a miracle they still honk at all.
I bet. Tough to go quiet with those big boys on. Tough to sneak up on someone.
Take a look at me, Lance. I'm in full clown regalia. I haven't snuck up on anyone since Clinton was president.
Normally, sure, but tonight maybe? Say, about an hour ago?
What are you implying?
We had a little accident over at the library. Someone hit Nora on the head.
Oh my! Who would do such a thing?
I don't know. Maybe someone she abandoned years ago? Someone whose heart she broke?
It was LaGrange. He was the one.
He has no motive, and he was in his stall all evening.
Then it was somebody else. Probably the one running protection rackets on the midway.
I couldn't agree more. And, as a matter of fact, I'm down to one suspect.
I see. I'm glad to hear it. I trust you've had your fair share of elephant ears and corn dogs?
I have.
Then, maybe, You should wash them down! So long, Flatfoot!
A seltzer bottle. Could you believe it? The clown hit me with a seltzer bottle and I never saw it coming. I ran out of the tiny office and into the funhouse proper. The lights were out, and despite what they called this place, it felt more like a spook house to me. I slipped into the House of Mirrors.
You'll never find me in here, Flatfoot! Why don't you take your free corn dogs and call it an end?
Because you hit Nora, that's why. Why'd you do it, clown?
If you loved her like I loved her, you'd understand.
So what is your plan? Kidnapping? Murder?
Do I really look like a guy who has a plan, Lance?
You look like a guy who has jail in his future. It's over, Bobo. The racket, the job with the carnival, all of it.
That's what you think. I'll slip away into the night and find some other show to run. You'll see.
The back door. Nora! I sprinted around a Candyland diorama and got lucky. Bobo had left the emergency exit swinging open, and the light of the moon helped me find the doorway. When I got outside, I found the clown out cold, the footprint of Nora's pump tattooed to the side of his head. Nora, wincing in pain, stood over him. Nora, sweetheart, did he hurt you?
No, I did what I said. I kicked him right in the head.
I can see that. But why the anguish routine? Surely you don't feel sorry for the clown.
Of course not. I just forgot what happens when you try a split kick without warming up first. Ow!
So that was that. The cops came, carried Bobo off, honking all the way. And the next morning, we came to work to discover the vacant lot next door, vacant once again. The carnival had packed up and moved on to the next town. Boss Lady simmered down from snarling orders to gentle grumbling, and poor Nora spent a solid week getting to know a variety of ice packs. As for me, I went back to my office, kicked up my feet, and looked at the one souvenir I'd kept from this dizzy affair, a red nose. One of Bobo's I picked up off the dirt. And I contemplated what makes a man clown for a living, and what darkness might be hiding underneath the grease paint.
This has been Lance Manley, Library Detective, brought to you by Too Bright. Don't go hunting this season without a spotlight, your prey. That's bright enough to blind your prey. They'd do it to you if they had the chance. Lance Manley, ladies and gentlemen.
Those other studios might have money and a track record of success in the entertainment industry. But when you want fresh content for your eyes and ear holes, Pranksters Inc. is here for you.
Pranksters Inc. is committed to stories that are lived in and real, but that acknowledge the absurdity of it all. Absurdly serious. That's Pranksters Inc.
Elevated, down to earth, personal. That's Pranksters Inc.
Optimized, innovative, disruptive. That's Pranksters
Inc. Holistic, organic, farm to table. That's
customizable,
Pranksters.
Built to last. That's
Trailblazer.
Grass fed.
Family owned.
Synergy.
If you'd like to learn more, visit PranktersInc.net today.